This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And here we are. It is the last big holiday weekend of the summer. We're ready for it, Tiff.
It went by way too fast.
Oh, no kidding. But you said there wasn't much going on the roads this morning.
Thank goodness.
But there's a lot going on in the jungles of South America.
Oh.
Are you aware that scientists have now found that marmoset monkeys in South America can call their own children by their names?
Fascinating.
Hear that? That's what they said. Apparently, this is in a study published in the journal Science. Researchers from Hebrew University in Jerusalem recorded natural conversations between pairs of marmosets, as well as interactions between monkeys and computers. And that's where they kind of discovered this, that apparently, and I guess elephants do this too, but they can call their children by name. Now, here's my question. When do they name these baby monkeys? And how do they name them? I mean, I'm sure when you named your daughter, it was a name that you liked.
Correct.
It came from either a family member or something you had seen on television or, a movie star, whatever. People name it. People name kids after movie stars and television characters all the time.
Absolutely.
That's why we have all these kids named after soap opera characters. But see, here's the thing. So how does a monkey name their kid?
I'm sure it's just some sort of audible sound. You know, so like in our family, I have two other brothers, and my dad would never quite remember our name, so he called us by the first letter.
A lot.
He called us by the first letter of our name, so it's T or J or W. We needed. So I wonder if the monkeys have something similar that's audible to remember. You know, child one, child two, child three.
Well, I was wondering if maybe there are marmosets that were like Michael Jackson fans. So there's a baby monkey out there named Bubbles. Maybe somebody else, like, you know, the King Kong movies, so they named their child after Kong. You know, there could be a lot of different names for monkeys.
But then, how do you remember them? And then when they're far away?
Well, it's their kid.
Yeah.
Except your dad didn't remember your names. But
there were only three of us.
We had six in our family. They didn't even know if we belonged to them or not. But anyway, I just found this interesting, and I want to know where the monkeys get the names for their babies. Is there a monkey baby book? Baby name book?
Is there a mom group somewhere?
Mom group. A monkey mom group. Oh, they'd have stories to tell now, wouldn't they?
Sure.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about this morning, and it's not just monkey business on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is the last big grilling holiday of the summer, and we're going to have tips on how to prepare those less expensive cuts of meat. Also, you know, a lot of people are traveling right now. And Tiff, I know you travel, and you know the complaints we have every time we get on a plane.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of people complain about their flight attendants. But before you complain about your flight attendant, you are going to want to hear our conversation with a Washington Post travel reporter who took a deep dive and a look at the shocking life of some flight attendants. And you're really, when you hear how with the conditions they're living under before they get to the airport, before they get on the plane, and before they serve you that coffee, you're going to look at those flight attendants with a completely different view. Also, a lot of people heard the roar of the engines at Milwaukee Mile yesterday. Well, we're going to be talking with one of the students who was able to meet with members of the Penske team yesterday. Also, you want to go to a free movie? We're going to tell you where you can go. And guess what? Even the popcorn is free. We've got our consumer expert today, and she has some advice on what to know when hiring a moving company. Also, Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal is here, and he says We Energies is looking to increase rates. What does that mean for all of us? Eric Bilstead is here. He's got another everyday hero story that he's going to share with us. We'll take a look back at the week in review. Tiff is right here in the newsroom. Isaac's pushing buttons. And in just 2 minutes, it's Marquardt with sports right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, 67 degrees at 8:12 on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. It was a thrilling ninth inning finish for the Brewers when Jackson Churio hit his 17th home run of the season for a 5-4 win over the Reds.
The 3-2 pitch, Churio, a high fly ball, deep right field, Rosario back, track, bye-bye baseball! Action Jackson, his 17th of the season, and the Brewers on top 5-4 in the ninth.
The Crew meets Cincinnati for the 13th time this season today. Our coverage gets underway with Dominic Catronio and Brewers warm-up right after Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News today at 10:05. And the Hy-Vee Milwaukee Mile 250s Race 1 was won by Pato O'Ward of the Arrow McLaren NTT IndyCar Series team. He had this to say.
It was getting a little gnarly there in the end, but glad I could bring it home for the boys. They were fantastic in pit stop. Strategy was amazing. We worked on the car really hard yesterday to really have something to fight with today. And Team Chevy, they brought the power with us, and super stoked for all the team.
The first IndyCar event hosted at the Milwaukee Mile since 2015 featured a season-high 667 passes and 326 passes for position, a record for the Milwaukee Mile. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
There is nothing like the sound of those IndyCar engines. I mean, when they get started, it is something else. I'm sorry I didn't get there yesterday. I don't think I'm going to get there today, but boy, those of you who have tickets, I'm a little bit envious. It is 8:16, 67 degrees. We're going to have your forecast. And also, Rich Kirchen's going to be here. Oh, say it isn't so. They're closing KFC restaurants throughout Wisconsin. Well, is one near us? We're going to find out. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
To a little bit of chicken fry and cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right.
818 WTMJ. Hey, before we get to the weather, do you know much about monkeys, Isaac?
Not
I'm in a monkey
ton.
Kick this morning. Well, you probably have heard about the infinite monkey theorem, which is, you want to share that with us, or do you want me to?
You're talking monkeys and typewriters and Hamlet, right?
Right. Well, Shakespeare. Yeah. That if you have a monkey hitting keys at random on a typewriter, that he'll eventually come up with the complete works of Shakespeare. But, you know, somebody actually tried that out. Back in 2002, apparently at a university in the University of Plymouth, they took... And that's in England, by the way, in Great Britain. They took monkeys. They put them at typewriters. And do you know what they got?
Gibberish.
No. They got 5 pages of the letter S. That was just it. The monkeys just kept hitting S, S, S. Now, I don't know if these were manual or electric typewriters.
Maybe they're writing Hamlet, but for snakes.
Well, it goes back to what I was thinking as far as monkeys and naming their babies. Probably all those names begin with the letter S. All right, let's see. Let's look at weather. There you go again. It's going to be a beautiful day today. Sunny, breezy, cooler, 75. I mean, yesterday was a little humid. Not today, though. It's going to be mostly clear tonight, down to about 58. Then tomorrow, looks like we have plenty of sunshine. And a high of 73 degrees on Tuesday. More sunshine, 76. Gets a little warmer on Wednesday under sunny skies with a high of 78. And then we get back in the 80s on Thursday. And that's when we got a chance of some thunderstorms late in the day with a high of 81 degrees. Those temperatures throughout southeastern Wisconsin on this holiday weekend, actually pretty nice. In Mequon, 64 degrees. Racine has 67. It's 63 in Oconomowoc, and we have 68 degrees at WTMJ at 8:20. And you know what that means? It's time to check in with our business news. It's time to check in with Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And boy, it has been a busy week for you, Rich.
You know, we were getting ready for the holiday weekend, so we had to work our tails off.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had that heat spell earlier this week.
That too.
And that air conditioner of mine was running like crazy. And I think a lot of people can certainly identify with that. But what concerns me is the story that you had about We Energy's increasing rates. Say it isn't so.
Well, they did file in April for a rate increase, which would start in 2025, 6 to 8% range for gas and electric. One of the things they say they need the additional funds for is to increase their infrastructure, to build some new lines, provide some service that the company says will support economic development in the region. So there you have it. Their expenses keep going up. They're spending a lot of money on renewable resources, putting in more solar sources and more wind power, especially solar in recent years.
So when will we see evening off or maybe even a lowering of rates, or is that just a pipe dream?
I don't know that that's part of the discussion at the moment, because the fact is that they're going to continue investing hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in the coming years because of the increasing demand for electricity with still more electric vehicles, even though that's slowing down some. But then a huge project underway in Mount Pleasant for Microsoft with their data centers, which is going to become, over the next couple of years, actually the largest single customer of We Energy's.
Oh, well, then hopefully they'll raise their rates and not ours.
Well, Microsoft did file with the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin last week testimony saying that they would pay their own way for new lines. But Citizens Utility Board, which is a consumer advocacy group, says they'll be watching that because, yes, it could trickle down to folks like us.
Let's hope not. All right. A lot of people are excited this weekend about the Milwaukee Mile and the Indy cars that have been there. But you also had a story about how the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series is not going to come back to the Milwaukee Mile next year. What happened?
Yes. Well, I'm going to be out at the Mile this afternoon, so I'm excited about that. And yeah, the thing is that in order for the Milwaukee Mile to get the Indy cars back for the first time in almost a decade, they had to give IndyCar preference for dates. And next year's IndyCar date, which is actually going to be the week before Labor Day, is when the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series wanted to be here. And State Fair Park, the owner of Milwaukee Mile, said, sorry, can't do it, which is not, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck folks wanted to come back. So at least for next year, not going to happen.
Well, it sounds like there's still going to be a lot of excitement at the Milwaukee Mile.
Oh, for sure.
Now, what about Kohl's, one of our favorite businesses here in Wisconsin? Their sales have decreased, but they're not looking bad, are they?
Well, their sales went down about 4% versus a year ago. And that's disappointing for the executives who are leading the company right now, because they've been hoping to turn things around. That being said, they have figured out ways to increase profits. Profits were up a little bit in the latest quarter, which is literally the bottom line for the company and investors. But yeah, the long-term concerns continue. Macy's just reported, and they actually were doing worse compared to a year ago than Kohl's. So the department store space continues to struggle. The good news is, as we discussed the last time Kohl's was a topic on this program, dresses, they're expanding their...
I know you were really excited about the dresses coming to the front of the store.
You were very excited as well. And yeah, so they launched this concept of more dresses and in a prominent spot in the store when you walk in. And they're expanding that to all of their stores. They started out with just some of the stores, and the news is it's going to be in all of the Kohl's stores.
So it must be working.
Yes.
Another thing that happened this summer, and we talked about it here on this show, and a lot of people were excited. It was at Villa Terrace, where they had the laser light show on the lakefront. A lot of people went to that. And Villa Terrace now, some people said it's been here a long time, but will it continue to be a museum in Milwaukee?
Yeah, well, it's actually owned by Milwaukee County, and that's the tricky part. There's a nonprofit group that runs not only Villa Terrace, but also Charles Alice Art Museum on the east side on Prospect. And Milwaukee County's been looking at the fact that it costs some money for the county to run these things, and should the county actually be in charge? So they've been basically put out requests for proposals to see who might want to take those over. They received proposals from Bartolotta Restaurants and Dynamic Events, which is an event company in Milwaukee. Friends of Villa Terrace would like to maintain it as a public museum with public gardens and event space. So the County Parks and Culture Committee is going to look at this issue this coming week, and we'll see what happens next.
Fabulous place for a party or wedding.
Absolutely.
Like that. I mean, right there.
It's one of the best. If you're up on the outer plaza there, the porch, so to speak, yeah, you great view of the lakefront and then the garden below.
Yeah, we need to treasure that space. There's no question about that. All right, now, a lot of people like their fried chicken. KFC is going to be closing some restaurants. How close are they to right here in the greater Milwaukee area?
Yeah, most of them. It's a franchisor that's based elsewhere, I think in Dallas. Anyway, EYM Group, they're closing locations around the country because they have not been able to reach an agreement with KFC as a franchisee, and it happens to affect locations in Wisconsin. The closest one to Metro Milwaukee is in Watertown. The others are further out state. So it's not like the KFCs in Metro Milwaukee will be closing down. So you'll still be able to get your extra crispy.
You know what? I love their coleslaw.
Oh.
Nobody makes coleslaw like KFC.
Okay.
All right, finally, let's talk about something everybody loves, and that's the Packers. How valuable are they?
Well, you know, the Packers, you can't put a price on the value of the Packers in Wisconsin, right? It's a way of life. It's part of our culture. But according to Forbes magazine, the valuation of the Packers, if the Packers were for sale, which they aren't now and never will be, is $5.6 billion.
Huh?
And that's $1 billion more than a year ago, which makes them the 13th most valuable NFL franchise. So actually, the Dallas Cowboys are worth $10 billion, according to Forbes.
Well, that's because they have those cheerleaders. Hey!
No comment.
Rich Kirchen, it is always great to have you here. Have a great Labor Day.
Thanks. I will. You too.
It's 828, 67 degrees at WTMJ. And welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. What a week it's been. We were cranking up the heat across Wisconsin, making a mark on the AmFam scoreboard, and presidential paths crossed the Badger State. There's so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Can you hear that music?
It's like a sauna in here.
Excessive heat returns to southeast Wisconsin today.
The feel-like temperature could hit 110 in some areas.
We didn't bring water today. We probably should have.
My pitch to the employers out there, make sure you're lessening the workload.
It's 462 degrees in Milwaukee at 1108.
I don't like that they mess around with the weather there. It's very serious.
Okay.
Like they did that on WTMJ.
Guys my age, we don't understand it. We didn't drink water except out of the hose. Some hot summer days, that was it.
Shining lights at residences, ringing doorbells, and blasting air horns. Those are among the list of behaviors that Sauk County Sheriff's Office says 9 juveniles have been issued citations for. Some of them are members of the Reedsburg High School football team.
We're in one of the big convention halls here at the brand new Baird Center. It's full of event planners who are perusing rows and rows of possible venues.
The booths are all destinations. These are the people that are looking for destinations and facilities to bring their future events to.
Being able to see what time of day it is, what the weather looks like, it just changes the whole vibe in the center.
There have been rumors over the years about some wild proposal to merge MPS and Wauwatosa schools.
The legal opinion that we received was that it can't.
Michael Hensel, special agent in charge of the FBI's Milwaukee office, says they kept our city safe through the RNC with a mix of intelligence gathering.
We can't do our job without the public.
And tactical teams on the ready.
Extra SWAT teams, our hostage rescue team, just in case we needed that. Thankfully, we didn't.
Thank God for that!
Police in Pleasant Prairie are now reopening the investigation into the death of a man that has been identified as Ronald Lewis Dodge.
I am humbled,
to have the honor of giving Ronald his name back.
We've got a limited amount of information that we're starting off with here.
Drilled into deep left center field. High, majestic, way up, and out. Home run, Jackson Churio, a two-run blast. He clobbered the longest home run of the season for any Brewer, 449 feet.
Really liked what the crew did there at AmFam last night. Not even talking about the guys on the field. I'm talking about the ones up in the booth there, putting the 11 on the scoreboard to mark where Jackson Churio had hit the board the day earlier.
Yeah, we had an intern actually climb up there and put that up there for us. So
he's a go-getter.
Who's he?
My intern from NYU.
I see a text from Julia, and you were so excited. It was a video. You're like, you need to look at this. And it was the Milverine.
I know. There's some incredible things in our city, like the Bronze Fawns, right? And the Calatrava.
You're going to compare the Milverine to the Calatrava.
Where do you know me from?
WTMJ Channel 4. Now she's on the radio. WTMJ Radio 620.
Amazing. Yeah.
Okay, guys, take care and goodbye.
Breaking news into our newsroom. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is confirming two Wisconsinites have died and another has been hospitalized due to West Nile virus.
Thank you all. It is great to be in De Pere, Wisconsin. Thank you. We are the American people, and our candidate is Donald J. Trump. Let's get him across the finish line, and let's do it together.
Former president and current Republican nominee Donald Trump is set to appear in La Crosse on Thursday.
For people that are using IVF, government is going to pay for it, or we're going to get or mandate your insurance company to pay for it.
Kamala Harris, in her first in-depth interview since entering this race, insisting her values have not changed since her last run for the White House.
As vice president, I did not ban fracking. As president, I will not ban fracking.
What are we, gay?
Are you stimulated?
Take care and goodbye.
Oh my God, there he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
And The Weeknd Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I'm Libby Collins. It's 8:40. Coming up in just a couple minutes, Eric Bilstead's going to stop in with his everyday hero. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It is going to be a beautiful day. Sunshine. A little bit cooler than yesterday because we're not going to have that humidity. And, well, it's not bad right now. It's 67 degrees. It's pretty nice out there. 8:43, it's time to recognize an everyday hero. And here's WTMJ's Eric Bilstead.
Wisconsin's Morning News identifies an everyday hero as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning they'd be saving a life. Today we head to Spain. Felipe Sousa, a painter. He was finishing a job in an apartment when he heard screams outside. The Guardian says he glanced out the window of the second floor apartment and saw a crowd of people on the street below gathering. The people were frantically pointing to the balcony next to where Sousa was working. He looked and he saw a little boy hanging on the wrong side of the balcony. The crowd was yelling for that boy to climb back over, but the boy was frozen in fear. He was 6 years old. His parents were napping. They were from France and in town at a VRBO. So Sousa climbed on the outside of the balcony and slowly inched his way over to the kid. Video shows him calmly grabbing the child's shirt, guiding him back over the railing before climbing over himself. The boy's parents, shocked that this had happened and super embarrassed, so thankful of Sousa, asked if he would do it again. Sousa says, of course. He'd do it 50 times over if he had to. He's a parent himself, he said. All he could think of was wanting to save that child. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
You know, that scares me too. Balconies and kids and or pets. You just don't want to leave them alone there. There's ever, under any circumstances. I don't care how high or how low that balcony is. You just don't put them out there alone. It's 8:45. Coming up in just a minute, it's Mark Horton Sports right here on Wisconsin Weekend and Morning News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Sports Desk.
Willie Adames had a three-run homer in the third inning of last night's game, helping the Crew in their 5-4 victory over the Reds.
First pitch. Drilled into center. This is deep. Friedel's going back onto the warning track at the wall. It is gone! Another three-run home run. Willie Adames. He's a machine.
He is a machine indeed. And they meet again today with our first pitch at 11:05. Our coverage gets underway right after Wisconsin's Week in Morning News with Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio. And Pato O'Ward led the field for an impressive win in race one at the Milwaukee Mile yesterday. This is what he had to say.
It was getting a little gnarly there in the end, but glad I could bring it home for the boys. They were fantastic in pit stop. Strategy was amazing. We worked on the car really hard yesterday to really have something to fight with today. And Team Chevy, they brought the power with us, and super stoked for all the team.
See if he can bring it home for his boys again when race two gets underway today at 1:30. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Isaac. So what do you like better, baseball or racing?
I'm a baseball guy. I love baseball.
That's it? What is it about baseball that you love?
You know, to be honest, it's the cheese curds at AmFam Field.
I didn't think it was the team. All right. It's 8:48, 67 degrees at WTMJ. Hey, you like going to the movies? Well, there's a really good movie that has to do with people coming to Milwaukee, and it was produced right here in town, and they're having a free screening, and we're going to tell you all about it. That's coming up next on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Well, it is the last summer holiday weekend, and we are going to enjoy it because those temperatures are going to be absolutely sensational, sunny and breezy and cooler today. A high of 75 degrees tonight. Not bad, mostly clear with a low of 58. Then tomorrow, even more sunshine, even a little bit cooler, 73 for a high temperature. On Tuesday, sunshine and 76. Wednesday, we start to warm up just a wee bit. Under sunny skies, it's going to be 78 degrees. And then on Thursday, that's where it changes just a tad because it'll be partly cloudy. We do have a chance of some thunderstorms later in the day. It's going to be warmer, and we're going to get up to about 81 degrees. Now, if you are headed out towards a lake, be very, very careful because there are some advisories out there, particularly if you're along the shores of Lake Michigan. So you want to check that out and be careful. Watch your kids. Don't go in the water if you don't have to, and especially if there's no lifeguard around. And Elkhart Lake right now at 62 degrees. Muskego has 66. Lake Geneva is at 65, and we have 67 at WTMJ at 8:51. Milwaukee has a very diverse group of people who live here. Many of them come from other countries. Well, nobody knows that better than the president and CEO of WellPoint Care Network, Ann Leinfelder-Grove. And there is a film which was done right here in Milwaukee about so many of the immigrants and refugees who have settled here from far off places. And you had the opportunity to see this movie.
Yes, I did. It's a beautiful film. This film was produced by our dear friend and colleague, Dr. Fran Kaplan of Nurturing Diversity Partners. And the film tells the story of 8 immigrants to Milwaukee who come from a variety of countries, including Tanzania, Afghanistan, Northern Ireland, Myanmar, Ukraine, Laos, and Pakistan, each of them sharing their very rich story of why they came here, how they found it here in Milwaukee, and how they are envisioning their American dream of being residents here.
In watching the film, what story touched you the most as far as one of these individuals who came specifically because they wanted to settle in Milwaukee?
Ooh, that it's a tough choice. It's a hard question. Perhaps I would share the story of Monica Ashery, who's an immigrant from Tanzania. and who owns an African product store here in Milwaukee. Monica's story is full of joy. It's full of color and beauty based on, you know, her work as a small business owner. Very touching story, but it's hard to pick just one. And of the 8 people featured in the film, 4 of them will be here at WellPoint Care Network on Monday, September 9th, when we have a screening of the film.
And that film, it's free admission. Anybody can come, right?
Anyone is welcome. All that people need to do is register by going to our social media site, wellpointcare.org. You can find us on Facebook and LinkedIn. There's a very simple registration form that allows us to track attendance just to make sure we have enough room for all the interested people. And it's a movie, so we'll also have free popcorn, water, soda, coffee. It'll be a great experience. But I cannot share enough about how deeply moved I was when I was fortunate enough to see the premiere screening of the film in late spring of this year.
You mentioned that a lot of the participants in the film are going to be there, but also the producer and director is going to be leading a panel discussion after watching the film.
Yes. Fran is a fantastic facilitator, but also so connected to the people featured in the film. She used the same approach when I saw the screening, and it's just beautiful to draw out the individuals for their reasons why they came, how they're doing. That will really enhance the event by inviting them to bring their updates on how they're doing and to bring their voices. You know, you mentioned it when you introduced the conversation, but it's not well known. Milwaukee has long been America's city with the most foreign-born residents. So that's a really wonderful and fascinating statistic. I would say in a time where the topic of immigration is very hotly debated, WellPoint's excited to elevate this discussion and this beautiful film.
Oh, and you know, I have to ask you, we all like happy endings of films. But was there anything in that movie that made you question in terms of people not reaching the American dream that they had hoped for?
I would note that sometimes there was a reflection of the struggle of assimilation. You know, as people come to our country and, you know, in this case specifically to Milwaukee, just the ease with which people can access what they need, you know, information, what they need to feel like they belong here. For each of the people featured in the story, of course, it was a little different, but at times there can be barriers, and that really touched me as well.
Well, there is going to be a free screening of Can We Make a Home here in Milwaukee at the WellPoint Care Center. That is going to be on Monday, September 9th from 5 to 7:30, and we can check any of your social media to find out how to register for that. And thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope you have a great turnout.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the conversation. Take care.
It's 8:56, 67 degrees at WTMJ. I'm Libby Collins. Coming up here in the next hour, you know, there's nothing that is worse than moving. I hate moving. And I've moved a lot. And Tiff, you're smiling.
Oh, I've moved to 3 different states.
Oh, okay. So you know. And,
yeah.
And just the whole idea of, especially if you were in different states,
packing.
You had to, well, but you had to hire different movers.
Oh, no, I packed myself and I love my friends for, you know, packing me with beer and pizza.
I am looking for friends like that. But, you know, just finding the movers to do it is a very stressful situation. Things can happen. And our consumer expert next hour is going to be telling us what to avoid and the questions to ask. If you don't have friends like me and you have to hire somebody to help you out. Also, are you grilling out this weekend?
I don't grill. My husband does. He is the grill master.
Oh, well, you know, I love steaks, but they're so expensive right now. I mean, you know, it just, there goes the pocketbook. But there are some wonderful cuts of meat that are less expensive that if you prepare them correctly can taste just as good or even better than the more expensive ones. And we're going to be talking with somebody who's going to tell us what they are and what to do to get those ready. Also, and I'm looking forward to this, we're talking with a Washington Post travel writer about flight attendants and No, no, no. It's not just a matter of, you know, they get on the plane, they give you your coffee or your beverage and serve you a meal. No, they go through a lot that you may not be aware of. And she's done a bit of an expose on this. She's going to share that with us. And right after the news, we're going to be talking with the young people who were able to meet with the Penske team at the Milwaukee Mile yesterday. That's all I had on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Tiff, you had that story about the Mesmer student. I found that shocking. Was she on her way to school or was she coming out of school?
Now, we can't confirm whether it was female or male, but a student was heading to school. They tried.
So this is like at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Correct. So investigation is still ongoing for this one.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you just want to make sure your kids are safe, especially as they're all heading back to school. Everybody's going to be back in the classroom by Tuesday morning. Well, speaking of kids, there is an organization. I don't know how familiar you are with them. We talked with the director here in Wisconsin last week for Junior Achievement. And it is such a great organization for young people. It helps them to learn how to evolve in terms of business once they get out of school. And we've got one of the Junior Achievement students joining us right now, Kobe Ortega. And last year, Kobe completed the BizTown curriculum. He participated in a day-long learning experience where he served as the CEO of U.S. Bank. So, Kobe, good morning to you. It's great to have you here.
Good morning.
Now, you had quite an experience yesterday. We've been talking about the Milwaukee Mile and those great IndyCar drivers, and you got to see it up close. Tell us what you did yesterday.
So we did a tour around the garage areas where we got to see all the cars and all the teams working on their cars.
What did you like best? What was your favorite part of yesterday?
Most likely seeing how much time and effort goes into building these cars to perfection.
Really? Now, I know that you are a big race fan. Did you learn anything while you were looking at the cars, while you were talking with, I guess they were members of the Penske team. Did you learn anything that you didn't know before?
The tires and wheels are actually, like, very light. You can pick them up really easily.
Oh, did you get to touch any of them? Did you get to pick them up?
Yeah.
Really? Were you able to pick it up by yourself, or did you?
Yep.
It's that light? Wow. Yeah. Wow. Now, somebody told me that you are interested in a career in racing, Kobe. Which of the jobs that you got to see up close do you think you'd be interested in?
Obviously a racer, but if not, most likely someone who develops the cars.
Really? So you'd like to design some of them, huh?
Yeah.
Now, you said that you'd love to be a race car driver. You got to see those race drivers. What was the most exciting part, do you think?
Probably seeing the cars, like, fly by and how they all work together.
I mean,
make all of them go faster.
Yeah, because those things really were moving. Now, I know in school you take some classes. Are there any classes that would help you to get a job, to have a career in racing?
Probably math and science would help me, because when you're developing cars, there's a lot of science that goes into it, and there's a lot of math to fit the requirements of building the car.
Have you ever sat down and maybe made a drawing of the car you'd like to design?
Yeah, plenty.
You have? What do they look like? Do they look a lot like the Indy cars?
Yeah, they do. Probably with wings that can move, basically helping it get more grip or making it go faster in a straight line.
You mean with wings that it wouldn't slow it down? It would help the speed?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. How did you learn that?
Because there's another type of racing that's very similar called Formula One. Mm-hmm. And did they have rear wings in the back, which help them turn corners easily and go down straights faster?
That's amazing. So maybe someday we'll get to see Formula One racing right here in Milwaukee, too. I bet you'd like to see that up close.
Yeah, they travel around the world to do that.
Yeah. Now, I know you've been a part of Junior Achievement. Are there any other activities that you've done and what you've learned from them with Junior Achievement?
So, yeah, in JA, I was the CFO of U.S. Bank, and we had to make sure that all our workers were getting paid, and that we were sending invoices to others and paying our invoices, which was really helpful, and it'll probably help me later in life.
Wow. If you ever have your own race car team, you'll already be prepared to know how to pay them, won't you?
Yeah.
Great job. Well, Kobe, I really think you were very fortunate to be able to see all of that Milwaukee Mile and the Penske team up close. And I hope you keep doing a great job with Junior Achievement and do well in school this year.
Thank you.
Okay. Kobe Ortega from Junior Achievement. Thanks so much for being with us this morning on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 9:14 and 68 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up next, we've got sports with Mark Ort right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. It was a thrilling ninth inning finish for the Brewers when Jackson Churio hit his 17th home run of the season for a 5-4 win over the Reds.
Churio, a high fly ball, deep right field, Rosario back, track, bye-bye, baseball! Action Jackson! His 17th of the season, and the Brewers on top, 5-4 in the ninth.
In other Wisconsin sports news, college football got underway yesterday with a Badgers victory over Western Michigan, 28-14. And yesterday, Hy-Vee Milwaukee Mile 250's Race 1 was won by Pato O'Ward of the Arrow McLaren NTT IndyCar Series team. This is what he had to say.
It was getting a little gnarly there in the end, but glad I could bring it home for the boys. They were fantastic in pit stop. Strategy was amazing. We worked on the car really hard yesterday to really have something to fight with today. And yeah, I mean, Team Chevy, they brought the power with us, and super stoked for all the team.
The first IndyCar event hosted at the Milwaukee Mile since 2015 featured a season-high 667 passes and 326 passes for position, a record for the Milwaukee Mile. I'm Isaac Marquardt with WTMJ Sports.
I'm still pretty impressed with young Kobe Ortega and everything he knew about those race cars. I'm kind of blown away with his knowledge of it. I think someday we will be seeing him somehow involved in professional racing. All right, it is 9:18. We've got 68 degrees at WTMJ. And coming up in just a couple minutes, what's the life of a flight attendant really like? Is it as glamorous as they show you on movies and television? Oh, you'll want to hear this. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Time we get on a plane, it's another adventure. And a lot of us are a little concerned because we're not having a good day when we get on. But think about those flight attendants. Are they having a good day? Well, Washington Post travel reporter Natalie Compton took a deep dive at what flight attendants go through. And I got to tell you, Natalie, I was shocked when I read about what their lifestyle really is, especially when they first get started.
I think most of the traveling public would be in the same position, totally shocked to hear some of the stories that I found out reporting on this story. So the origin of it was in May. The Alaska Airlines Flight Attendant Union released a survey of its members, and 9% of respondents reported that they have been homeless in the last year or lived out of their car or in a shelter. And once I heard that figure, I ended up interviewing 18 current and former flight attendants, and many of them had similar stories of living out of their car at the airport, having to go to a shelter, not having anywhere to live because their pay is so low.
I mean, that is just unbelievable to think that the people that we're relying on for our safety once we get on that plane, are sleeping in a car at the airport?
Mm-hmm. One woman had been a flight attendant for 16 years, so she had plenty of experience on the job. She was living at LAX, even with her teenage son would have to stay in the car with her sometimes. And she was having threats that they were going to call Child Protective Services. That wasn't an appropriate place for a teenager to live, but she had no other choice. She had already sent her other daughter to go live with her parents in another state. So I just heard so many of these tragic stories, flight attendants doing multiple jobs, staying up all night, driving Lyft, then getting on a plane. And like you said, these people are there for your safety. And so if they can't afford to get a night's sleep because they have to work a second job, that's a problem for a lot of people.
Well, you mentioned that second job. And mm-hmm. as you said, some of them go without sleep. Tell about some of the flight attendants you talked to and how long they were sleepless and they still would get on these flights to work.
The one person who really had a shocking story to me lives in Atlanta and she works for Frontier Airlines. She got this job after switching careers and was very excited with the prospect of, oh, I'm going to get something like $20-something dollars an hour pay. But what a lot of people don't realize is flight attendants don't get paid until either the boarding door is closed or the brakes have been released from the plane. They're not getting paid during boarding. They're not getting paid when they're at the airport. So their actual take-home pay for this woman was $23,000 a year before taxes. And so to make ends meet, she was driving Lyft as much as possible. She was doing dog walking. And she told me about multiple times that she has gotten up at 4 a.m. to drive Lyft, been in the car all day driving, then gets a call from Frontier. I need to show up for a flight. I'm on call because I'm a new flight attendant. Goes and flies for 8 hours, gets home, gets back in the car and keeps driving Lyft because she has no other choice. So it is just a really shocking thing to hear because that means you have that person who is tired while they are driving you and tired while they're on the plane. And it's just really heartbreaking. She'd already done everything she could. She had gotten rid of her apartment and was trying to save rent by living with a friend. And still, it was just not working out for her on this one salary.
Well, I know in your article, you describe these crash houses that a lot of mm-hmm. flight attendants stay in while they're waiting for their next flight.
Crash pads are an industry standard and not unusual for flight attendants. Some of them can be very nice, and it's almost like a hostel. Or you can get one that is so nice, it's like your own little apartment. It's supposed to be this, like it's in the name, crash pad for people, usually if they are not living in that city. Okay, I fly out of this place, I can come here and get some sleep. But some of them are not great because people are trying to save as much money as possible. And the landlords want to turn a profit too. So they're cramming as many flight attendants as they can in bunk beds in a room. And one flight attendant told me the one she lives in, nobody cleans it. There's not really a good structure there. It's very cheap. It's in a bad neighborhood. She doesn't feel safe walking out, but she can't afford an Uber. So the stories that you hear once you start asking, it was very shocking. And most of the flight attendants were very brave for even coming forward at all because they were worried that there would be retaliation from their airline for even speaking out and telling people about these problems.
Well, has there been any feedback from the airlines about these conditions?
There were no apologies from the airlines. They said, we pay a competitive rate. Flight attendants know what they're getting into when they start this job. And over time, the pay gets better, that you can add more flights and try to boost that income that way. One issue is that a lot of airlines are in contract negotiations with their airlines flight attendants unions, and these are years-old contracts that haven't been updated because unions feel airlines aren't giving enough in these negotiations. Airlines are trying to save as much money as possible, so as a result, flight attendants are just waiting for their wages to go up. So there are a lot of people pointing fingers in the issue, but ultimately, it's the flight attendants who are suffering.
So basically, why is it that so many people still want to be flight attendants in spite of these working conditions, particularly in the first several years they get started?
It is still super competitive, as you mentioned. People like the perks of it, even though, you know, it's not just a free airplane ticket whenever you want. You're flying standby, and if you live in a place with a busy airport, that can be difficult to get on a standby flight and go wherever you're going. But they like the idea of those travel perks for themselves and their families. Over time, it is a very flexible job. Once you can start picking your schedule, once you have seniority under your belt, you can say, oh, I only want to work these days. And that is an appealing position to be in, especially compared to a traditional 9-to-5. And then over time, of course, the pay does get better. So flight attendants feel, okay, if I can suffer for the first 11 years, by year 12, it'll be great. And I should also say there are plenty of flight attendants who make this work if they're with somebody who has an income. You know, they have a spouse who has an income, or they get money from investments, whatever. There are people who make this work and are not feeling the suffering from the low pay. But if you are one of the single mothers that I talked to, or some of these people who don't have support from family, it is incredibly challenging.
Natalie, after doing all of this research on the life of flight attendants, do you have any regrets that you went into journalism and didn't decide to go into the airlines?
Well, I have an aunt who is a flight attendant, and I have always admired how much she got to travel, and that was very inspiring to me. She's also just one of the kindest people I know, and I know that that was the other part of what keeps flight attendants in the job, is they love dealing with people. They love how friendly of a job it is, and they love the other flight attendants they work with. So even talking to these people amidst their suffering, they had positive things to say about the job. It is tempting sometimes, you know, the job is glamorized on TV, but journalism, not so glamorous either. But I'll stay where I'm at, especially because I don't think I could start at the bottom of the totem pole as a flight attendant and be okay.
Natalie Compton, Washington Post travel reporter, thank you so much for doing this story and for talking to us today.
Thank you.
It's 68 degrees at 928 on WTMJ. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 9:36 and we have 68 degrees at WTMJ. Labor Day is the last big grilling holiday of the summer, so we want to take it up a notch and do it right. And I can't think of anybody I'd rather talk to about it than Duffy O'Neill. He is a chef and co-owner of North Star Bistro and Grafton Ale House. And I know Duffy because he's part of our family. And Duffy, tell us, what are some of the most popular things to grill this time of year?
Well, most popular, I think we can always go with the burger, which it's a great staple to go, but I know people might want to kick it up a little with this last weekend. As you said, you know, it's the last of the summer. So, you know, steaks are pretty popular, but as we know, it's kind of getting a little pricey to do steaks on the grill. So there's ways to get around that, I think. If you don't want to do the burger and the brat, there are some cuts of meat that I think we can work with that are just as flavorful, but they're not as tough on the pocketbook.
Okay, so let's look at beef, which, of course, as you said, steak is pricey. Is there any cut of beef other than hamburgers that you would say, this is a great one, and if you do it right, you're really going to be happy with the results?
I love flank steak. Most places will have it in their butcher section. Flank steak. You can do it in many different ways. You can marinate it. You can dry rub it. Also, you can just eat it like sliced, or you can put it into tacos. A lot of different ways of serving it. And the nice thing is it's reasonable and it's really simple to use. The only thing you just have to remember with flank steak is to cut it against the grain. You will see the grain running through the steak just when it's off. You let the meat rest when it's done, and you just slice it across the grain, and it's really tender and has a lot of flavor.
All right, so you mentioned dry rubs. You mentioned marinate. What do you prefer? What do you think with flank steak makes the best prep?
I like to marinate flank steak, so sometimes a little garlic, balsamic vinegar, some mustard, rosemary, and a little olive oil, black pepper. And I let it marinate in that without any salt yet. And then after you get the grill hot, put it on the grill, that's when I like to season it with salt.
And how long do you leave it? Because you don't want to overcook that, do you?
No, you don't. The grilling time, I would say it's about 4 to 5 minutes aside. So after about two and a half minutes, I like to cross-section it. So if it's laying vertical, then I like to turn it horizontal. And it kind of gives those nice cross-sections. And then I flip it and do the same thing. And if your grill is a little hot, sometimes you just need to kind of take it off the heat a little bit and let it cook just a little bit longer. Because I would recommend between medium rare and medium for that cut.
All right. Now, pork has been pretty reasonable. What about pork chops? How hard are they to grill?
You know, pork can dry out pretty quickly. So the recommendation there would be to brine them. You can use like a brown sugar brine, a cider brine, orange juice brine. And what the brine does, you add a lot of salt, water, a little sweetener, and then something else like orange juice and maybe some herbs. And what that does is that salt penetrates the meat and kind of keeps it a little more tender, even if you overcook it just a little bit. It definitely helps with the flavor a lot as well.
And, you know, there's been some pretty good prices on ribs that you want to barbecue as well. Any secrets on those?
Ribs, you got to plan ahead, I would say, because maybe the day before you want to take them out of the package and do a dry rub. A dry rub you can buy at the store. You can make one, which usually has like a little chili powder, paprika, garlic powder, onion, maybe a little sugar and salt. A lot of times there's some good ones at the store you can find, and you let that sit overnight in your refrigerator on the ribs. And then if you're going to grill ribs, I recommend setting up your grill, one side of it with the heat and one side without the heat, so you can get the char marks over the flame, kind of keep it there for a little bit, and then you put it over on the side without the flame and just let it cook until it's ready to go, basting it with your barbecue as you go. So it keeps it from getting burnt if you keep it over the flame.
And what is the biggest mistake people make when they barbecue?
Not have a beer in their hand. The biggest mistake, I think, is overcooking the meat. You can always put it back on the grill, but, you know, you can't undo it. So I would caution overcooking, and give yourself an outlet, too, when you start your grill. Keep one side for indirect cooking, which I mean is you don't have the heat over on that side. That allows you, if you have flare-ups, you know, it's just too hot, you can slide it over. Give yourself a break and just kind of let it cook without burning.
Duffy O'Neill from North Star Bistro and Grafton Ale House. He is the chef and co-owner. Great to have you here. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful Labor Day.
Thank you. You too.
I love Duffy's reply about biggest mistake you make is not to have a beer in your hand. Have you ever made beer can chicken?
I have not.
I haven't made it in a long, long time. But you take the beer can and you take the chicken and you just put it upright on the grill. And basically, that's all you do. And you just let the chicken roast, and then it sort of absorbs all of that flavor. It is really delicious. Okay, I know what I'm making for dinner. Beer can chicken. 9:42 coming up in just a couple minutes. If you are moving, nothing's worse. What? You got to hire a mover? We're going to tell you what to avoid and what to do if you're in that boat. That's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, nothing's more stressful than moving. And when you are under stress, that's when you make those mistakes. Joining us is Michelle Reinen. She's our consumer expert from DebtCap. And Michelle, what's the first thing to do when hiring a moving company?
Well, you want to check them out. That's the first thing. Be sure that you're dealing with a legitimate mover and not some scammer out there. And you want to be sure that you are validating that they are legitimate. And things you look for is a deposit. If you're required to put one down, have a written agreement in place, because otherwise they may never show up. And they may load your belongings into their truck and then disappear if you haven't vetted them and know that they're legitimate and have that written agreement again. So I can't stress enough, checking out that moving company and talking to friends and family to see who they use is going to be a great way to find a mover.
Now, what if you do have them come out and they give you a really low estimate? Can that be a red flag?
You probably want to get a second opinion, because that is most definitely a red flag. If they're undercutting all other prices, you need to understand why. Are they a brand new company and they're local, so you can, you know, be a little bit more confident with that low price? Or are they just a scammer trying to get your money and will never show up? And again, you want things in writing, because you want to make sure your estimate's actually covering all the belongings and that you both have an understanding of how much you have to move. You may say a one-bedroom apartment, and for some, that's so much furniture, and for someone else, that's going to be twice the amount of goods. So you need to have some clarity on that.
And let's give that consumer protection hotline in case you run into any problems.
1-800-422-7128.
It's 9:46. The Brewers beat the Reds yesterday 5-4, and they're going to meet again today. That first pitch is at 11:05, and our coverage gets underway right after Wisconsin Weekend Morning News with Dominic Catronio and Brewers Warm-Up at 10:05. It's going to be mostly sunny, breezy, cooler. We're going to get up to about 75 degrees. Then tonight it's going to be clear, down to 58. Your Labor Day looks beautiful. Lots of sunshine and a high of 73. On Tuesday, it's going to be mostly sunny, 76. Wednesday, more of the same, sunshine and 78. And then on Thursday, looks like we've got a chance of some thunderstorms. It's going to warm up, though. It's going to be up to 81 degrees. Oak Creek right now has 67. Brookfield's at 66. Port Washington has 66. And it's 68 degrees at WTMJ at 9:50.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
And welcome to the Sunday Sip here on 620 WTMJ. I'm the host of the Sunday Sip today, but I'm also the host of the Political Power Hour, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 on WTMJ. But it's not about that, and it's not about me. It's about Rose Gray from Fox World Travel, who you can hear every Saturday morning, or most Saturdays when she's not traveling around the globe. But we have a special announcement, Rose Gray, today.
We do, and it's been long coming, so we're very excited to finally get it out to the public.
Yes, we're calling it the Sicily and Malta Mosaic, because one of the things I love about working with Rose Gray and Fox World Travel is I talk to her throughout the year because we see each other and we talk on the shows, and she on my show and me on her show occasionally. And I always tell her this is like my wish list, and one of my wish lists is, of course, one of my home countries, because I was born in England, but my real home country is Sicily, because that's where my grandma and grandpa came from on my dad's side. And I love archaeology. So when I was talking to Rose about this trip to Sicily and Malta Mosaic in October of 2025, once again, Rose Gray from Fox World Travel, you've sort of matched my wish list with a really cool experience for all the listeners who want to go along.
Well, aren't you sweet to say that? So it really wasn't that complicated, because the country that we're referring to, which is where Steve's heritage lies, is the beautiful island country of Sicily.
Absolutely. And so it's a longer trip, which is another thing that I want to do. 13-day journey, Sicily and Malta. Let's kind of walk through some of the things that we can experience. We're going to visit Monreale Cathedral, Rose?
Yes. I would say Monreale.
Okay.
In my Italian accent.
Okay. See, I'm not a perfect Italian. Yeah. I don't even know how to say the words.
Exactly. So I don't want people to get the impression that this is just going to be what they sometimes refer to as ABC, another bloody church, another bloody castle.
Right.
But we are going to see some pretty remarkable things that I don't think you'll see elsewhere. I'm not trying to imply that when you go to Italy, for example, and you see cathedral after cathedral, that they all are the same. They're certainly not. But in your mind, they start running together. And here, I think, because the history of Sicily is so unique, the Phoenicians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the French, the German, Italians, including British, so there's your heritage right there, all have played a part in the history of this gorgeous island of Sicily. And so the diverse architecture and the diverse culture and certainly the diverse cuisine is what makes this such an amazing trip. And then you throw in beautiful coastlines and the great city of Palermo, which that's where we start our journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that country alone could stand on its own.
And you forgot about the wine, Rose Gray.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the fabulous wine.
Which is always good.
When we're in Marsala, we will be drinking copious amounts of wine, and maybe throughout the trip as well.
So I want to do this a couple times. I want to give people an opportunity. So we are launching the trip to the public this week, but we also have some loyal listeners who probably have already signed up because they always have that early notice. But we want to make sure that you understand this is a 13-day trip. It's next October, not this October, the one that's coming up in a month, right before our election here in the United States. It's next October, and the dates are the 3rd through the 16th of 2025. Folks, all you have to do is contact Fox World Travel. I have the number right in front of me, and correct me if I'm wrong. It's 888-369-8785, right?
Right, and I also like to remind people who can't remember that, just dial 866-GO-FOX-GO. And that works too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be talking about this a lot on my show as we sort of, you know, move through the year, because I want people to understand we sold out our last one in Tuscany. We love that thing. We had a big group for the German trip, which was absolutely spectacular. And if it's not enough to have all the great architecture and archaeology and the food, which is amazing, and all of these places that we go to, and the wine and all the things that you get to celebrate when you're on a vacation. The customers, the clients, the listeners are part of the experience, because we've developed such great relationships over the years, Rose, with all of these people. We go to dinner with them. We gather in groups for like sort of a reunion trip. It is sort of a very cool experience that I'm glad I got to do a couple times with you.
And we also should add that Stephen, I thought that Sicily would be the perfect destination and it could be a nice 9 or 10 day trip and we could call it good. But we always like to find someplace that our on-air personalities like Steve have not been. So we added a little bonus to the end of the trip, which is Malta.
Which I did some homework on. I've been watching a lot of like documentaries on Malta. Malta is one of the places, and now it's a separate country, very small, that is one of the most ancient places on Earth. And if you're interested in that stuff, and I am, archaeology, I like, as my wife Kathy likes to joke, I like to touch old things. She likes to take pictures of me touching old things. And that doesn't count myself, because I don't consider myself old. Neither do you, Rose, right?
No, not at all.
No, we don't live old. We live young, which is why we travel.
We live young.
All right. That's so, Malta has some of the most cool ancient sites on the planet. We're talking 10,000 years old, 12,000 years old, and we're going to see some of that. Another thing that somebody just told me, one of my loyal listener pals is going to go on this trip, what they also like is a little bit of free time built in.
We love to do that, and I've used this term, or this phrase, I should say, many times when people are explaining to me that they're a little concerned about group travel. Maybe you've done all your own travel for all these years, and you like to sort of have that freedom to do whatever you want. But when you're talking about a trip like Sicily and Malta, I feel like you have to have some kind of formulated itinerary. And so we like to include some free time. And many, many, many years ago, we should say we're partnering with our good friends at Globus Family of Brands to do this particular trip. Many years ago, I took my parents on a group trip, and my father was very resistant. He was a self-guided guy. And with day 3 of the trip, he said to me over breakfast, "I get it now, Rose. I get why group travel is appealing. Within the structure lies the freedom."
We're calling to Sicily and Malta Mosaic with yours truly, Steve Scaviti from the Political Power Hour, October 3rd through the 16th, 2025. Rose Gray, Fox World Travel, 888-369-8785. Do not hesitate. This thing will sell out. This is a very popular trip. Rose, I always enjoy our conversations. We'll do it a lot more between now and then. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Sunday Sip right here on 620 WTMJ.
Always great to hear from two of my favorite people, Steve Scaviti and Rose Gray. I'm Libby Collins. Thanks for joining us today. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning, special edition of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News for Labor Day. I'll be here with you from 7 until 9. Coming up next, it's Tiff Pua News, and then we start our coverage for the Brewers and the Reds. It's all with Dominic Catronio, and it's coming up right after Tiff and the News right here on WTMJ.